the most exciting thing you can start a show with.
Coming live from the 2SER studios.
This is a great show.
Across the park, 2SER.
And just go for a swim, but like deep.
Come on in, meatball.
Testicles.
I'm pointing at the doggy.
Come on, meatball.
Three viewers.
In our eyes, I
which part of that was
confusing? I've got a real problem with that. Bloody snake. I can stand the prick.
Oh, bloody bird.
Let's not do this.
Oh, the corner injury. She got a corner injury.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, a show that, and I don't mean to sound overdramatic, is currently being listened to by you right now. My name, or so my parents led me to believe, is Joel Kasem, and I also believe I know the names of the following people. First up is a man who has been MIA for the past 3 weeks. It's Mick Rad.
Oh, hello. I'm sorry, I missed Radiothon. You guys have sounded great, and I'm glad I could dial in the other week. And
it
say
was
g'day.
Lovely to hear your voice.
Yay.
Also, here is a woman who just got off her shift at Four Seasons Total Landscaping. It's Gabby Morris.
Hello. God, I'm glad that shift's over. That's all I got.
And joining us for the first time is Australia's favourite science guru, engineer, doctor, radio and TV star, the man with many amazing homemade shirts and author of Dr. Carl's Surfing Safari Through Science, it's Dr. Carl!
Thank you for that fabulous introduction. I'm very honoured.
we're just honoured to have you on. This is very exciting for us.
Well, got any questions bubbling up to the surface of your mind? I'm happy to answer them.
Oh, we're going to have 1,000.
Oh, do we ever?
It's really exciting, Dr. Carl. We have this little sports show, and we won a couple of awards last year, so we're feeling a bit chuffed, and we've thought we could, you know, reach out to big guests such as yourself, and we're just very, very happy that you jumped on the show, but also that we can talk about your amazing book.
Oh, that's very kind of you. And speaking of sports, do you know that the ancient gladiators of Rome were probably the highest paid sports performers ever in the history of the human race?
Oh, wow. Like, comparatively?
As compared to today, yes.
Yeah, wow.
Really? How does that work?
What about Ronaldo? He makes a lot of money.
I think they were paid more.
In what? What were they paid in money or in
slaves?
Other... Yeah.
Well, they had money in Rome, like... that was 2,000 years ago. After all, the world's oldest complaint letter, going back 3,750 years ago, is written in Mesopotamia, complaining about the cost and the quality of the copper ingots being developed. So we've had societies going back for a long time.
Right.
Wow.
I've always thought those copper ingots just weren't good enough. Yeah.
I can only imagine that we're going to be getting some of these beautiful bites of information in your book. Does the Surfing Through Science Safari does it take us across everywhere, or is it quite specific? I'm hoping it's about surfing.
it's got everything. So there's something about sports. So it turns out that with regard to marathon runners, they've got special bacteria in their gut. Don't have, which gets some extra energy, and so they can run just that little bit further. And why anybody would want to run a marathon instead of having a cup of tea and a piece of cake, I don't know.
But it gets worse.
There's
ultra marathons as well. People went
they
further.
Are crazy.
People went further.
Yeah, 100 kilometres. My colleague, Melissa Harvey-Smith, who used to be in charge of all the CSIRO radio telescopes in Australia, she can run 100 kilometres without stopping, as well as have a cup of tea and a nice bit of cake.
Both sort of people amaze me. I tried doing a marathon once, Dr. Carl, and I made it about 32 kilometres without stopping. And then the first time you stop, then you can't keep going. You have to keep stopping.
That's pretty impressive, though, 32. The best I could ever do was 14 Ks in the city to surf.
Oh, yeah.
And 71 minutes.
Nice. That's well done.
That's very good.
I mean, this is a science question for you, Dr. Carr. Speaking of running and long-distance running, why is it that when one starts running, as say between 2 or 4 kilometres, you need to do an emergency poo?
It
is a phenomenon.
You're...
Like, it is really? a true... Yes. It's almost like when you get anxious. But seems like such a weird evolutionary trait.
Well, it's an accidental side effect of the sympathetic nervous system.
Ah.
So your body's got a whole bunch of systems that run themselves without you having to do anything about it. You know, your heart beats, air comes in and out of your lungs, and dealing with emergencies. There's something called the sympathetic nervous system. I apologize for the dumb name. And if you come around the corner and suddenly you are confronted by a killer dinosaur or killer shark or killer rabbit, automatically, without even you thinking about it, the blood supply to your heart is increased. The blood supply to your muscles is increased, as is your production of adrenaline. But the blood supply to your skin is reduced, so you don't bleed as much if you get in a fight with a killer rabbit. And the blood supply to your gut is reduced. And also, you have a desire to defecate to make you less attractive to be eaten by the killer rabbit, but also to lighten you up so that you can run farther if you have to run away from it. So it's just part of the accidental wiring. I apologize for that, Dr. Gabby. Evolution, remember, is not perfect. It's just good enough. In fact, there's an example of that in the book where I do the story, not just about the animal that has a transient anus that comes and goes. Yes, there's a jellyfish that grows a new bum every time it needs to have a poo, which is every 10 minutes if it's a baby, or every hour if it's an adult. But there's another creature, a scorpion, which can actually, wait for it, lose its bum forever, which is even worse than losing your smartphone. I know, the shock of horror. I know. And so evolution made a bit of a mistake there. And so with this South American scorpion, instead of putting the bum between the legs, it put it right at the end of its tail. And if it loses its tail, well, it can't poo no more. It gradually fills up, but it can still survive for several months and still have babies. It just sort of gets bigger and bigger.
Wow. My wife said I've got no bum, that but that's like a bit different. I love animal facts. I mean, the animal kingdom is just ridiculously amazing. I've been watching that awesome documentary on Netflix with David Attenborough and talking about where the planet's heading. Not a spoiler, it's not going very well.
No, we can fix it. I've just finished writing today the last words on my book for that. That's my book 47. And firstly, you probably don't know it, but there's been a very well-funded disinformation campaign by Big Fossil Fuel for the last 30 years to create confusion, just like Big Tobacco and Big Alcohol did. Secondly, about 400,000 atom bombs worth of heat are trapped by the atmosphere by greenhouse gases every day. Thirdly, with global warming, we've actually, wait for it, one of the effects is that we've tipped the Earth off its axis by a tiny, tiny amount. And finally, we can fix it all, and there's no new technology needed or new science, although that would help us if we get some more. The only thing stopping us is, going back to number one, the disinformation campaign still being run by Big Fossil Fuel, even now, in the same way that Big Tobacco and Big Alcohol run it.
Oh, wow. So
wow.
You're saying that, you know, we've got the technology, we've got the science, we know how to fix this. We just need to ignore the big companies.
Well, the thing is that the companies very cleverly bought up or funded politicians around the world who are in their hip pocket. And unfortunately, the cheapest solution to climate change is unfortunately illegal.
Oh?
Yeah, just bribe the politicians. They're so cheap.
I thought you were going to say, like, we all have to disappear off the planet or something.
No, just bribe the politicians. It's cheap. Like, you have Australian federal politicians being booted out for a lousy $5,000 bribe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, but that's how much I pay for my soy latte every morning with a twist of lemon and a bit of gold on it. You know, I mean, that's how bad things are these days.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you mentioned in your book the best coffee, or at least how to make the best coffee. Why are you paying so much money?
Because it's got the little gold flecks on it. And you see, gold, like silver and copper, are all in the same column on the periodic table, and they have weak antimicrobial properties, except for copper, which has got strong antimicrobial properties. So what we should do in Australia is change in public areas all of our touch plates and push plates and surfaces that are metal from stainless into copper. And it will kill the bacteria, not and the viruses, including coronavirus, in 4 hours, not by adding water or electricity or fancy chemicals, just by the atoms of copper migrating into the microbe and then killing it with hydrogen peroxide using its own forces against itself.
Wow.
Goodness.
Okay, so we copper it as the answer.
That's one of the answers, but let's go back to the other topic, whatever that was.
Well, we can go back to animals because I'm interested. I know that there's insects and many animals still yet to discover, especially under the water, but last week in Australia, two new mammals were discovered. How is that even possible? Surely by now we would know all the mammals, at least in this country.
We know, was this on land or in the ocean?
On land.
Australia is big. So on my biggest ever outback trip, when we went on the Canning Stock Route, we were off-road for a month, and in that month, we didn't see another human being, and we had to carry all of our own food and all of our own petrol, which was 600 litres, and it took us a month. There's lots of bits of Australia that people with notepads and cameras have not been to.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's true. I mean, you fly over Australia when we could fly, and you look down and you just see just so much areas of nothing and no people and no, and it's like, I guess we underestimate how big this country is.
Yeah, about 5 million square kilometres or 1% of the world's surface area. We also have 1% of the world's population, 0.3% of the world's population, but we put out about 1.1% of the world's carbon dioxide because we're like that.
We are jerks.
So,
we are
Dr.
a bit.
Carr.
But anyway, sorry, Gabby.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, you obviously have a huge enthusiasm and passion for science. It is very infectious. It's, you know, everybody I think in Australia loves listening to you and hearing all your knowledge. Well, I'm trying to think, what do you do? I mean, you're a busy man. I can see, you know, I've seen your CV on your website. It's huge. It goes for days. But what do you do? Like, what are some of your favorite hobbies? Or do you play sports? Do you have a relationship with sport or any type of kind of, you know, games per se, because we figured out that chess, for example, is also a sport.
It is, and there are some boxers who play boxing chess, where they do a move and then have a 1 minute round, then do a move and have a 1 minute round.
Yeah,
it's a real thing. And I've been watching the Queen's Gambit on Netflix, which is a lot of fun.
Oh my god, I'm obsessed with that show. I'm obsessed with chess.
And I like to sort of, for me, there's various sorts of sports you can do. Some people love what they call HIIT, H-I-I-T, or high intensity interval training. The trouble with that is it's good, but you can end up with a few injuries. There's another sport called LIIT, or low intensity interval training, otherwise known as walking.
I think I've heard of it.
You're pumping iron, you've got to get those buttocks up. And I went for a swim this morning in the ocean. I like a bit of that. And watching, I've been learning how to play cards. I'm just getting into poker at the moment. The trouble is there's all these different types of cards. There's sort of black ones and red ones, and then they've got different shapes on them. I keep on getting them wrong. And what is trumps again?
Oh, yes.
At the moment, no one.
A bit of 500. 500's good.
I've heard you
also like to dance as well, don't you?
I love dancing. In some African languages, there is no separate word for dance and music. If there's music, you're dancing, and if you're dancing, there's music. They go together automatically. They're the same thing.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that
Very
too.
Very sensible.
Have you ever played,
I miss dancing.
Have you ever played team sports, Dr. Carl?
Yes, I like touch football. I used to play football at school, but being a kid from a other country, they picked on me, and so I then very rapidly graduated into picking up papers.
That's a sport, I guess.
Oh.
I was very good at it. I was the under 16 Division 2 tennis champion in Wollongong. Milo Cup.
Tennis.
Uh-oh. Gabby,
you're winning
tennis.
Me over here, Dr. Carl. I'm obsessed with tennis as well. Tennis and chess.
So what are your favourite sports, Dr. Gabby?
Well, as I used to be really into contact sport, but then I've aged a bit, so I've kind of moving away from that. And now I'm just obsessed with tennis. So I've been playing. I play a lot of tennis, and getting in the ocean as much as I can too. But tennis is like I've hit it at an age, and all of a sudden it's my newfound glory. Can't get enough.
Now, make sure that you don't do any injuries because that could be bad for you. So just take it easy. I'm
take
the boring
person.
Take it easy.
It's funny, actually, Dr. Carl, because I can't increase my heart rate. Otherwise, I break out in hives. Do you know what this biological reaction could be?
Tell me more.
Well, as soon as I get hot and sweaty and my heart rate hits over 100, I break out in like a red rash, really itchy.
And what do the medicos say?
They're not really sure.
She's asking one now.
Have you been to see the medicos about it?
Yeah, I need to go back, actually. I'll go and get some proper advice.
It's probably good to go to your regular GP, and if you haven't got one, you should. I always go back every 6 months to a year for just a grease and oil change. And if necessary, go and get checked out by a specialist, because luckily in Australia, we still have access to pretty cheap and pretty high-quality medical care. It hasn't been fully privatised like America yet, thank heavens. Mm.
Yeah. Thank heavens.
Are our bodies made to be injured, especially sports injuries?
Made to be injured, no. Like, once again, evolution. Evolution is not perfect, just good enough so you can have babies, right? So basically, when you're under 25, like if you're 24 and 364 days old, you can go out for the weekend, stay awake and up for about 4 weeks, consume enough ice to stop the next ice age, turn up back at work, and people say, oh, how's it going, Joel? You look all right, mate. And whereas, when you're 25 and one day, if you stay up watching Late Line on ABC, the next day they'll say, oh, my God, you look like crap. What did you do? I stayed up after 9:30. Oh, that'll do it, yeah. So injuries are not a good thing. They're a bad thing, and you want to avoid injuries. There are no injuries that are better for you, except perhaps for the baby injuries that you get in pumping iron, and everybody should pump a bit of iron.
Okay.
What do you mean by that, by baby injuries?
Well, part of growing muscle is that you have to destroy or damage slightly the older muscle.
Yes.
So you have to push yourself a little bit, but not so much you actually tear ligaments off bones or make yourself a new hernia in the middle of your gut, but just, you know, sort of gently push yourself and gradually you'll find your muscles going. So overall, this study's only been done with women, I haven't found one for men, it doesn't matter what exercise you do, so long as you do something and you mix it up. You do this for a while, but then you change it for something else. So sure, love tennis to pieces, but also make sure you do something different, like say walking or anything else, just so you're getting a full range of movement over your whole body. And so that was a weird thing about marathon runners with their weird gut bacteria. They actually have bacteria, and this is in a book, in their gut that help them get extra energy from running.
Where does that bacteria come from, though? They're obviously not born with it.
We don't know. It's called Veillonella. And what happens is if you do exercise normally, you know, aerobic exercise, you're burning sugar with oxygen to make carbon dioxide and lots of energy. But if you're running a bit low on oxygen, well, instead you burn up glucose to make two molecules of lactic acid, which is burny, ouchy, painy, and you slow down, you're going ouch, 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 all acidic, and yes, you are a bit acidic. And the lactic acid travels through your bloodstream and then goes into your gut, and this is where the difference is. In you and me, it just goes into your gut and then out through the back end. But in marathon runners, the bacteria called Veillonella eat the lactic acid, convert it into free fatty acids, which then migrate back across the gut wall into the bloodstream, into the liver and into the muscles, and give them an extra boost. They get an extra bit of energy out of generating lactic acid, whereas you and me, we don't.
That's amazing. I mean, this is another example of our bodies and how adaptable, I guess, they are. I mean, like we're talking about with the injuries, you know, I think the reason that we do go out and push ourselves and get injured and hurt is because our body's tend to repair itself, like, pretty well, right?
Only if you're 24 and 364 days old.
Right. So we're all buggered then. I feel like, yeah, as I'm getting older, every injury takes longer to recover from, that's for sure. But that's why we all stop doing those really rough sports, I guess.
Yeah. Most of us grow out of it. Although some people continue, and we were talking about the State of Origin last week, and it's a big story that one of the players got concussed, and now everyone's quite concerned about him because he's been concussed so often. How bad are concussions to the human body?
very bad to the brain. And I've seen them in my role as a medical doctor some years down the line. And sure, they'll limp off the football field in their 20s and 30s. But many of them in their 40s are unable to walk properly, have to have crutches or a wheelchair, and have brain damage. Yeah. It is not a good sport to have where you get injuries to your skull.
Yeah, and obviously Boyd Cordner we're talking about, he's had four concussions this year, and he's obviously made the correct choice to not play again this year, but he might not play again because, you know, he's had that many concussions. I guess you don't want to have
He should never play ever a contact sport for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Unless
yeah.
he wants to spend the last 30 years of his life in some degree of impairment. Yeah. The more the concussions, the worse the impairment. And then suddenly, after you've been in a wheelchair or on crutches and not able to speak properly for 4 years, all of your friends vanish, and then suddenly you're there by yourself for the next 30 years without any friends.
Yeah.
It's not a good prospect.
Okay. No.
Well, you've got plenty of friends, Dr. Carla. You've also got plenty of books. You're up to number 46. You just said you finished number 47, but 46 books is a massive achievement.
Well, luckily the scientists keep on generating stuff, so there's a story there about how dead fish can swim and how, and there's even the hologram which pops up there.
Yeah.
Don't mention the hologram yet.
Tell us about the holograms. And also, what is a hologram?
Think of Princess Leia in Star Wars, where she says, "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only salvation, my only hope." Okay? So you go to one of the stories in my books, for example, say dead fish swim. And believe it or not, fish can swim upstream after they're dead. Not downstream. Whoa. You'd expect that current would carry them along. They can swim against the current upstream when they're dead. And it turns out that the whalers of the last century, who would kill whales, would often comment that once they'd killed a whale, if there was a strong sea, the whale would head into the strong sea and start swimming away from them upstream at about one knot, and sometimes they couldn't catch it if they had the old-fashioned whaling boats where they had to row to chase it.
Wow.
And so in this story, Dead Fish Swim, I explain what's going on, and then you download the modestly named Dr. Carl app, which looks like a little light bulb.
Where'd you come up with that?
And then you aim your phone camera at the book, and it happens at a couple of dozen pages, and then suddenly there's a little pop-up me explaining, a little hologram, about dead fish swimming, and then it goes on that if you press one of the buttons underneath my feet, you see a video of the dead fish swimming, which you can't normally do in a book. In fact, there's so much information in the holograms and all the links that it's like a book within a book.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's so cool. You've got your own app now, Dr. Carl. You've got Dr. Carl.
Well, you can have your own app. All you've got to do is spend about a year on it and you'll get...
No one will download it, though.
Yeah, no one's interested in that, Dr. Carl.
Well, that's now, but life is long and who knows what will happen in a year from now.
What else do you cover in the new book?
Well, there's stories there about how we're missing black holes. So there should be about a billion black holes in our galaxy, and we've only found three dozen. Oh. So there's something going on there. And the closest one we've found is only about 1,000 light years away. But separately from that, I reckon that within this century, black holes will firstly be worked on by the military to try and use them as weapons and then gravitate across into the civilian arena.
Black holes for sale.
Wow.
Yeah, well...
Yeah,
further down the line, you might be saying to your kids or nephews, come in, young Jocelyn, stop playing with a black hole and have dinner. And also, it turns out that black holes have no size.
Oh.
It's not one of their properties. In the same way I have properties of volume and mass and so forth and so forth, I do not have the property of being the world heavyweight mixed martial art cave fighting champion. Instead, I do not have that property. But in the same way, black holes, they've got the properties of being, of having spin, of having charge, and having mass, and that's it. They don't have any more properties. That's it. That's all they got.
I love space. This is it's just like the final frontier, right? For science, and there's so much we don't know. It just keeps being exciting, right?
Yeah, well, there's a story in there about migrating planets, about how come we do not have the most popular planet we've discovered in our universe, in our solar system. So we've gone looking, we've found about 3,000 solar systems, and the most popular planet out there is a what we call a super Earth. In other words, something more massive than the Earth, but less massive than Neptune or Uranus, and we do not have one of those in our solar system. And there's a story about that, and there's a story about how spiders can design and build and count, and how spiders can fly, and how the 5G mania is all just a myth. And people actually try to tell you that not only is there no such thing as COVID-19, but that it's caused by 5G. I find that one hard to believe. And there's a story about how you can exercise fish with a coffee plunger, which raises the question of why do you want to exercise fish, and how do you use a coffee plunger to do it, and how we're running out of sand.
I love how your questions raise more questions.
Wow, this book is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And, of course, the amazing disappearing anus, and also women's work never done, where it turns out that 1/8 of all of the labour done on a planet is not paid for, and it's not regarded as being worth anything, and it's overwhelmingly care work, and it's overwhelmingly done by women. And when you think about care, if we didn't get cared for until the age of about 5, none of us would make it to the age of 5. We'd be dead. So we need care at the beginning and end of our lives. And along the way, I've had stuff done to my teeth and my shoulder. We all need care. And yet, certain types of care work are seen as not worth money. And that's very bad that 1/8 of the world's population doesn't get paid for the work they do.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, it's devastating.
It sounds like
on the other hand, there's some good news, which is that your lungs can repair themselves. So even if you've been smoking cigarettes for 40 years, after about 3 months, your risk of getting lung cancer is not just the same or stopped, it's actually heading downhill. You're getting less.
I love our bodies, how they do that.
Population of stem cells living inside your lungs that come out after hiding away all those years and then get rid of the damaged cells and take over.
Amazing. We are quite amazing. Something else that is amazing is we always do a game on this show. It's actually not amazing, but we're going to do it anyway. Gabby, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Couldn't hear a word you said, Gab.
Oh, dear.
What's the game name?
All right. This game is Dr. Carl in the Green Room. And as your book title is called Dr. Carl's Surfing Safari Through Science, I know that you know a lot about science, and I think we all know that you know a lot about everything, but how much do you know actually about surfing? So I'm going to give you some questions, Dr. Carl. I would say that this is probably surfing lingo, but just come up with probably the best answer, what you might think these are. Can you hear me, Dr. Carl? Are you ready?
Ready to rock.
Okay, question number one. In surfing, what does a wetty warmer mean?
A wetsuit comes in different grades. There's the full steamer or the summer one. And a wetty warmer is often used to refer to urinating in the wetsuit to keep yourself accidentally warm and not have to go to the trouble of taking it off.
Very good.
So good.
Absolutely beautiful. Yes, a wetty warmer is when you sit in your wetsuit and you do a nice warm wee. Beautiful. All right. All right, question number two, if someone was to yell while they were in the surfing, Seto, what does that mean?
Hang on, how do you spell that word? I didn't quite get it.
I don't know how you'd spell it, but S-E-T-O-O-O-O-O, Seto. There's a Seto.
I have no idea, but I'm guessing it's referring to a set of rather good waves heading your way.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. It means there's a big one coming, a big set. All right, question number three. What does bogged the rail mean?
Bog, B-O-G?
B-O-G-G-E-D, bogged the rail, R-A-I-L.
The rail is the edge of the surfboard.
Yes.
But I do not know. I have failed you. Tell me what it means.
Mate, when you bog the rail, it means that you've stuffed up your turn on the wave. So the rail hasn't gone into the wave correctly and you've bogged it. You've fallen off. You've ruined the turn.
Well, you learn something new every day. Give me another one.
You got another one, Gab.
You want another one. All right. What is, now question number four, what is a body womp?
W-O-M-P?
So it's not, Yeah, WOMP, it's not necessarily with a surfboard. I'll give you a clue. But if someone's like, oh, let's just go for a body womp.
I do not know. I'm guessing it means you're sort of surfing, catching the waves with your body. I do not know. Lay it on me.
Yes. Yes. No, that's very good. A body womp is when you go body surfing, so without any sort of, you know, flotation devices. But you do it on the shore where you get smashed. So you get it on, like, the barrels on the inside. So you get really smashed and you get, like, kind of like in a washing machine. Get lots of sand everywhere and just get a good body womp in. Cleanses the day.
So the trouble with the surfers on the big waves is that when they come off the big wave, you know, when it crashes, they're in water, which is not just pure water, but it's a mixture of water and air. And therefore, the density is less. And therefore, they have no flotation. So they're maybe 2 meters or 3 meters under the surface, and they can see it up there, but they won't float there. And as they try to swim up towards it, the waves push them down, and they can actually choke to death. So some big wave surfers actually carry little cylinders of oxygen on their wrists they can pop open in such an emergency.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That is crazy.
Big wave riders.
Well done, Dr. Carl. You actually did really well at that game.
Very well. I'm very impressed. You did very well.
Dr. Carl, surfing safari through science with pop-up holograms. Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, that is awesome. Is available now. So go out, go buy it at all the best bookstops in the world. Dr. Carl, thank you so much for joining us on Across the Park. It's been so much fun. We've learnt way more than we thought we would. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gabby, Dr. Mick, and Dr. Joel.
Thank you, mate.
Cheers.
Thank you, Dr. Carl.